All right.
Thanks for being here.
Did we move right into 18?
I think so.
Okay. The region-wide on-site system implementation program, agenda item 18. Mr. Briggs?
Thank you. This is a follow-on to an action the board took 1 year ago, last May. And in that, I'll probably be repeating a little bit of what Sorrel Marks will be describing, but I think it bears repeating that the board dealt with the individual system criteria amendments, that would be the siting criteria, last year, and took action to adopt amendments, changes, improvements to the siting criteria and other aspects of on-site systems that we've actually had in the basin plan for 25 years. And today is a follow-on action. Since we had to table half that action last May. And this focuses on the wastewater implementation program. So I just want to make sure we keep that emphasis in mind, because I know we've received a lot of comments that actually go back to the on-site criteria, siting criteria, which has already been adopted. It is not before us. Imagine we'll have to repeat that again later. And so making our presentation this morning is Sorrel Marks of our staff.
Thank you, Roger, and good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board. I think we'll just wait a second while the pictures come up. Okay, so as Roger mentioned, this is another basin plan amendment, and this is for an on-site wastewater system implementation program. This is really a plan for regulating on-site systems. The objectives of the amendment, this basin plan amendment, is to make sure that we have consistent compliance with the basin plan criteria. We believe this is the best way to achieve long-term water quality protection from on-site system discharges. And the implementation program also includes a streamlining of the permitting for on-site systems. Now, this program will provide for updating memoranda of understanding with local permitting jurisdictions, the local agencies. That would be counties and cities that directly regulate on-site systems. And we are providing some guidance for development of the local agency on-site wastewater management plans. Now, the proposed implementation program does not require a retrofit or enrollment of properly functioning existing on-site wastewater systems. Now, as I go through this presentation, there's a couple of terms that I'd just like to clarify. Are you with me? I see a bit of scowling.
I'm with you.
Okay.
You're asking me that question. I'm also looking at speaker cards and contemplating.
The terminology that I'm using throughout this presentation, when we talk about criteria, we're really talking about the measure of compliance. That will be the rules for siting, design, maintenance, management of on-site systems. As you recall, those criteria were updated by your board on May 9th of 2008, and they are currently at the state board for review. They need to go through state board and Office of Administrative Law review and approval. And that process is on hold until we clarify the implementation portion of this amendment. And as you may recall, in May of last year, we had pulled the implementation portion from the agenda because the waiver for on-site systems was not in a form that was appropriate for the board members to adopt. Now, the appropriate form for the board to consider is in the form of a basin plan amendment, and that's what we're doing today. So when I'm talking about implementation as opposed to criteria, then I'm really talking about the method of compliance. The implementation program proposed today includes a conditional waiver to be adopted by your board. And as I said, this is the proper form for this issue to be considered that we pulled from the agenda last May. Now, basin planning is a certified regulatory program under CEQA, so the Water Board is exempt from preparing the standard EIR and negative declaration documents, but the Water Board staff reports do substitute for these environmental documents, and the substitute environmental documents include the environmental checklist that's in your staff report. They identify potentially significant environmental impacts. They identify alternatives and mitigation measures, if necessary. And they identify reasonably foreseeable means of compliance and the impacts of compliance. And we did hold a public workshop, a scoping workshop, on November 14th, 2008. And during that workshop, we were seeking to gather input on alternative implementation tools. So that would be alternatives to the conditional waiver that we're proposing. We're also seeking to gather public input on environmental impacts associated with this action and receive comments and questions and provide information so that we could make sure that the public could participate in the process, the review of the draft documents, participation in this hearing today. And then we also provided resources for more information in case people had further questions. Now, after the workshop, because there's been quite a lot of discussion about on-site systems, not only here with our board but with the state board, there were a variety of questions that were not specific to this implementation program. They're more about siting and design of on-site systems. So we did spend a considerable amount of time after the workshop with participants that had other sort of tangentially related questions, discussing those issues to make sure everybody knew what we were proposing here and what the difference between the implementation and the criteria are. Now, when we're talking about the CEQA considerations, we do try and keep our focus on direct or indirect physical changes in the environment that could be caused by the proposed project. And in this case, the proposed project is renewal of a previously existing waiver with more protective requirements. So this is a strengthening of environmental regulations. Now, the current situation, the problem, if you will, that we're addressing here, is that the Water Code, existing state law, requires formal authorization for discharge of waste. That includes discharge from on-site systems, from septic systems. Now, authorization is typically provided in the form of waste discharge requirements or a waiver of waste discharge requirements. And we have for many years, for about the past 25 years, implemented a waiver of waste discharge requirements through memoranda of understanding with the local permitting agencies, the counties, cities. These would be agreements that those local agencies would implement the basin plan criteria as their own. But based on state law, those waivers expired in 2004. And the Water Board can't simply delegate their authority to local agencies, and the current situation does not comply with the Water Code. The current situation being no waiver and not providing any other formal authorization for discharge, like waste discharge requirements. And individual waste discharge requirements, the only currently available tool, is admittedly a cumbersome an expensive process, not only for the applicants, but for Water Board staff. So the implementation program I hate to tell you, but I think I now understand the reason for the wrinkled brow. My assistant here is on the wrong presentation, so hang on a moment.
Hard to get good help, Sorrel. Having a little trouble tracking with the slide. I'm waiting for her to get to the existing.
I would really just like to commend everyone for not screaming, "Foul, I don't know what you're talking about." But, you know, maybe Harvey can just zip through very slow... Rather quickly, and we'll just sort of cover where we've been. I won't go through that portion of the presentation, but if any of these slides, if you want me to spend more time on them or back up to them, I'm happy to do that. You know, we have the terminology, the criteria versus the implementation. Go ahead. Okay.
Just briefly, but I think this is important.
Okay, this is a very important concept here. When we're talking about the terminology, criteria is the measure of compliance. So we're talking about the rules for siting, design, construction, maintenance, and management of on-site systems. And those criteria were updated last May. The updated criteria is still at the State Board for review by both the State Board and Office of Administrative Law. They have put that on hold until we have clarified the implementation portion. So when we're talking about implementation, we're talking about the method of compliance. And the proposed implementation program includes a conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements to be adopted by your board. Now, this is similar to the implementation tool that we pulled off the agenda last May because it was not in the proper form for this board to adopt. The proper form is as a basin plan amendment, and that's what we're about today. Okay, so I won't spend a lot of time on reviewing the CEQA process, but if you have any questions or want to back up to that, I'm happy to review that again. The current situation, as I described, is that state law requires formal authorization for discharge of waste, including discharges from on-site systems. And there isn't currently an efficient tool for doing that. That's what we're proposing today. So we're proposing a replacement for the waiver and the program that we had implemented for many years with the local permitting agencies that included a waiver of waste discharge requirements along with memoranda of understanding that the local agencies would implement the basin plan criteria or an acceptable alternative in the form of their on-site management plans.
So, Sorrel, what really is the difference then? Is it more procedural in terms of what we have been doing before versus what we're going to be doing hereafter?
It's very similar. The procedures are very similar. The issue is the former waiver expired in 2004, and we have not yet renewed it.
Okay.
So this proposal is more specific. It is more detailed. Our previous... The previous waiver language was, in general, along the lines of you need to comply with the basin plan criteria. That's kind of broad and general. And This is more specific. This is you need to comply with the basin plan criteria or an appropriate approved alternative, which is the on-site, the local on-site management plan. And this tool, and I'll get into this in just a moment, provides for enrollment under this waiver of individual systems that are proposed in areas, new systems in areas that don't have an on-site management plan. So if we don't have an MOU with the local agency, or if the local agency doesn't have an on-site management plan, then this tool provides a mechanism for enrolling and regulating those systems in an efficient manner, rather than having each one come before the board for an individual waste discharge requirements order or an individual waiver. And you may recall over the last several months there have been three or four residential septic systems that have come before the board for authorization in the form of either waste discharge requirements or individual waivers that had we had this tool in place, we could have regulated them in that way.
And I just want to add to why there are differences also is that the previously existing waiver sunsetted by operation of law because the legislature adopted a new provision dealing with waivers that required all of them to sunset unless they were renewed. And it added a number of new requirements. If the board does adopt a waiver, that statute added a number of new requirements for adopting a waiver, including specifically that it has to be conditional and it has a five-year term and it has to be consistent with the basin plan and a number of other requirements. It has to be adopted at a hearing, et cetera. So those differences are incorporated into this proposal that were not in the previous basin plan waiver provision.
I still have one question. I'm still not clear. The MOUs that expired in 2004 existed under a waste discharge requirement. That has expired. That's the thing that expired that then nullified the MOUs that were in place.
Well, the waiver is what expired in 2004.
Okay, and so that nullified all the existing MOUs?
Essentially.
And there will be no new waste discharge requirement issued in that same form. We're moving instead to a basin plan amendment that essentially covers the same issues and extends it and adds areas that were not covered by the previous MOUs under the waste discharge requirement. Do I have that right?
Maybe I can answer that. There were no waste discharge requirements. There was an existing waiver that waived the requirement to get waste discharge requirements if you were permitted by the local agency that complied with the criteria. So this is essentially the same thing. It's renewing that waiver that your individuals will not be required to obtain waste discharge requirements if either two ways. One, they obtain a waiver of waste discharge requirements from the regional board, or the other way is that they obtain a permit from a county or a local jurisdiction that has implemented a management plan that assures compliance with the criteria that you adopted in May. So there's just two categories of conditional waivers. In both cases, the conditions are to comply with the criteria you adopted in May, and in one case, you have to apply to the regional board, in the other case, you apply to the county.
And I think the next slide will make it far more clear. As you can see on this slide, there's two scenarios described. So if we're looking at the little cluster on the left, in areas where we don't yet have a memorandum of understanding with the local agency and they don't have an on-site management plan, then applicants for new on-site systems would submit their application to the Water Board for enrollment under this conditional waiver. The application would need to be accompanied by an application fee. It's currently $560. And the application itself would need to document that their system is consistent with the basin plan criteria. The staff would review these applications, and they would respond, if it's appropriate, with a letter of enrollment and provide for tracking of these systems. And then the applicant would need to go back to their local agency and still proceed through the local permitting program. And as I mentioned, in the last few months, there have been a couple of individual residential systems that have gone through the waste discharge requirements process. So this would be a more streamlined version of that.
Okay.
Now, in the areas where we have a memorandum of understanding with the local permitting jurisdiction and an approved on-site management plan, then the requirement to submit an application will be waived. So that an applicant for a new or somebody proposing to put in a new system would not need to submit an application to the water board. So correspondingly, they don't need to submit an application fee. They would, of course, need to demonstrate that their system is consistent with the basin plan criteria or the on-site management plan criteria that is already an approved alternative to the basin plan. And they would do this through their own local permitting process with the county or the city wherever they're located.
Now, the MOUs that you're mentioning here, are these the same MOUs that were in existence before, or are you going to be writing new MOUs?
We're writing new MOUs. We have been working with the local permitting agencies, working on those drafts, getting them ready for approval for about the last 6 or 8 months. And those would be new MOUs, and they're more detailed, and they do include a schedule for development of their on-site management plan. And they will be more detailed than we had before.
Yes.
So on the when you're talking about the right-hand column, you said when you introduced the right-hand column, you said for those areas that have an MOU and an on-site management plan, and our goal would be for that to be the whole region.
Definitely. I mean, we...
Not isolated areas.
Right. We really believe that the most effective, efficient oversight for on-site systems is by the local agency. And, you know, the local agency is in a far better position to address the local circumstances, whether those are physical circumstances that... you know, make some areas better or some areas worse for siting on-site system discharges, or whether it's their own regulatory circumstances, you know, their permitting programs and that sort of thing. That is the goal, to get there.
So we don't want to be in the left-hand column. We want to be in the right-hand column, and it boils down to streamlining and how can we do this as efficiently and as effectively as possible.
Right.
And with actually more local control.
Right. Right. That's what we're providing here, is a tool to get to that, a legal tool to get to that local control. Okay, so there is some work outstanding, as I mentioned, after a basin plan amendment is approved by your board. It does need to go through the review and approval process by the State Board and the Office of Administrative Law. We normally expect that to take somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 months. I think I mentioned earlier that the review of the earlier update for the criteria portion that was done in May, we have asked the State Board to set that on the back burner until we've addressed the implementation portion, because we really need to address the issue of, you know, how is this going to be implemented in an efficient manner, and that's what this tool is all about. We have, as I mentioned earlier, we have been working with the local permitting agencies on developing these memoranda of understanding. And several of those are nearing completion, but they haven't yet been formalized. And we are working with the local agencies to provide some assistance in developing their on-site management plans. And there is some guidance in today's agenda package on developing on-site management plans. And we did talk about that a little bit at the November 14th workshop. This amendment would not be formally part of the basin plan until approved by the State Board and OAL, which will take some time. Completion of the MOUs and the on-site management plans will also take some time. And so we're actually proposing that we continue the way we have been for the last few years for an additional period of time, like a year, until we get these other components in place. Now, the way we have been dealing with these is that the local agencies have been implementing their own permitting programs, but except for in a few unusual circumstances, we haven't been pursuing individual waste discharge requirements for standard, you know, conventional on-site systems. So we would propose to continue that process for a year until we have these other components in place. We have circulated this proposed amendment for comments from the public, and the comments are summarized in your staff report along with responses to each of those comments. I would like to point out that the comments that are summarized in the staff report are those that specifically address the proposed implementation program. Some of the comments received were about criteria, and we haven't revisited that issue because that is not what's before you today. The following issues are some of the key comments that focused on the implementation program. We did hear several comments that there was concern that the management plans will be costly for local agencies to develop, and part of the guidance that we've provided, you know, we're encouraging local management plans to use first those programs that they already have in place. Most local agencies already have in place a lot of the components of a good management plan. And that can certainly help keep the cost of developing a management plan to a minimum. There were several requests for guidance in developing on-site management plans. There is guidance in your agenda package, and we certainly agree that the guidance will help keep the cost of the plans down, and that was also handed out at the workshop in November and has been circulated to the local agencies that are developing these on-site management plans. And while Water Board staff has been meeting with these local agencies, we've also been going over this guidance to, you know, help this process go as smoothly as possible. There were quite a few questions on development of an EIR. You know, should an EIR be prepared? And as I mentioned earlier, the basin planning is a certified regulatory process under CEQA, and the alternative, the substitute environmental documents that make up your agenda package provide the CEQA compliance instead of the standard EIR that many people are familiar with. There were several comments about how will the development of statewide regulations, a process that's going on concurrently, how could that process impact our region's implementation program? Now, this is briefly summarized in the staff report, but the statewide regulations that are being developed in response to AB 885, they have not yet been adopted, so we don't know exactly what they're going to be. There have been several drafts. There is currently a draft circulating for comment, but the completion time of that process and the adoption of those regulations, we don't have a specific time frame. If more stringent requirements are included in the statewide criteria, then those will be incorporated into our program. That is state law, that the more stringent criteria, the statewide criteria, will be incorporated into our program. Now, if on the alternative our criteria is more stringent than the statewide criteria, then it will be the same as it is today, because there isn't currently statewide criteria, but we do have basin plan criteria. The question of will existing systems need to enroll in the waiver? Now, the waiver is primarily for new discharges, new on-site systems. However, if you have a system that fails and needs to be replaced by some sort of different system, then that could enroll under this waiver. But we are not anticipating that owners of properly functioning existing septic systems are going to enroll in this waiver. That's not what this is for.
Question.
I have a question.
Mr. Hayashi.
When you refer to an existing septic tank, let's say something goes wrong with the tank and you just need to change the tank, does that be considered an upgrade?
No, that's not an upgrade. That's just standard maintenance.
Standard maintenance. Okay.
You know, if you have a tank and you pump it, that's just standard maintenance. Or if when you pump it you find that the walls are deteriorating and you need to, you know, replace baffles or whatever you need to do, that's standard maintenance. On the other hand, if you let's say your system is what it was designed to be, but it's surfacing out the side of a slope or, you know, some sort of problem that it needs to be corrected in something other than standard maintenance, then that is something that you would enroll under the waiver for your new system. So, as I mentioned, the existing properly functioning systems wouldn't enroll. New systems would enroll only if we don't have an MOU and a local on-site management plan. So I just want to emphasize that the preferred approach is the local oversight through this mechanism of the MOUs and the on-site management plan. Several commenters asked if there would be grant funding available. I'm not aware of any grant funding that would be available for this was specifically about developing on-site management plans. I'm not aware of any that's currently available for that particular project. And some of the commenters just expressed their support for the permit streamlining that this implementation program represents, and you know, with that, of course, we thoroughly agree. That's what we're hoping to implement with this program, to make sure that you know, this process, that the streamlining benefits stakeholders, and that that is it's key in effective on-site management. It'll provide for efficient compliance with state law, minimize the time that applicants need to spend in the permitting process, and also provide for proactive approach to long-term watershed protection, water quality protection. Many have also expressed their belief that the local agencies can provide the most effective oversight for on-site management. And again, we thoroughly agree. That's what this program is set up to do, to provide for local agency on-site wastewater management plans that can consider their community-specific conditions. And as I mentioned earlier, many local agencies already implement a lot of the management program components through their local permitting process, those sorts of things. Now, yesterday we did receive a significant number of late comments. There were actually there were a few more after making up this slide, but I think with the additional letters that came in this morning, we have about 30 last-minute comments, and many of them either expressing opposition to the proposed action or requesting that the Water Board either table or delay it. The basis for the opposition or request for delay, as expressed by the commenters, were some thought it should be delayed until the statewide regulations under AB 885 are adopted by the State Water Board. As I mentioned earlier, those are nowhere. We don't have a date that those are likely to be adopted. Some expressed that they wanted this delayed until there's further study, or delayed until further public notice is provided. Several expressed their opposition based on what they perceived might be expense to the individual on-site owner, on-site system owners. Some expressed opposition simply based on change, and opposition based on it was something I was proposing. So, anyway, for each of those who either called or emailed yesterday, I've responded to each of them by providing additional information, either by email or by telephone conversation, to try and help people understand what was really being proposed. A lot of these questions came in response to a radio program or a couple of radio programs. And anyway, those are the late comments. We also have, and I think you have additional letters in front of you, most of them reiterating the same comments that I have listed here, asking for either tabling, delay, or opposing the proposal, asking for more study. However, there are a couple of comments from the San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau or Western Growers that are, to paraphrase, they oppose, they voice in their letter their opposition to sort of a one-size-fits-all set of criteria and want the opportunity to manage on-site systems on more of a local scale. And this is exactly what we're proposing in this program, because we're really encouraging the local management through these on-site management plans and the memorandum of understanding. And there was One last letter that's not covered in any of the categories I've mentioned so far, and that was from one of the San Luis Obispo County supervisors, and he expressed a number of questions that are relative to the AB 885 statewide regulations. They are not specifically addressing what we're talking about today, the Central Coast Implementation Program, this Basin Plan Amendment. The one item that that was specifically, or that could be a question on this issue, and if you have that letter in front of you, it's the first question, and that is, what's the difference between a water board-only regulated system versus other systems, or what constitutes a waiver, and who makes this determination? Now, those are issues that do address the statewide regulations, but they could also be questions about what we're talking about here, and I just wanted to clarify that when we're considering this waiver, we're anticipating enrollment under this waiver, which would be direct water board regulation of new systems that are not in areas where we have an MOU with the local agency and an on-site management plan. So I just wanted to clarify that again, that it's not all of the thousands of existing properly functioning systems that are out there. And I noticed that this issue came up a little bit on the discussion earlier this morning, the terminology of a waiver. You know, what we're talking about, the waiver, this is a conditional waiver of the requirement to get individual waste discharge requirements, or I suppose general waste discharge requirements. But it's the waiver of the requirement to get waste discharge requirements or the waiver to submit a report of waste discharge, but not to be confused with the general language, meaning we waive, you don't need to do anything. It is the regulatory tool. So just wanted to clarify those late comments. So,
thank you. Thanks for attempting to quickly summarize those comments and our responses to them. So just a couple things I wanted to add was on the Western Growers letter on page 2 at the top, it says we suggest the board focus on risks associated with older failing systems in areas where water quality degradation is attributable to those septic systems. And that is a great argument for the local agencies having an on-site management plan and doing exactly what we think needs to be done to deal with those problematic areas in particular. So I see that as being supportive of what we're trying to do here. On the County Farm Bureau letter, you addressed the one-size-fits-all starts in with numbered paragraphs, and I just want to point out that item 1, which has to do with pumping, item 2, cost of septic system pumping, item 3, dual leach fields, those all relate to criteria that the board either adopted in 1983 or last year and amended last year. What the board did last year with the issue of pumping was say that they should be inspected and pumped every 5 years. It's not required. And the dual leach fields is, again, covered in the criteria that's been in existence for 26 years now, I guess. The fourth one does have a question about ground and surface water quality monitoring, which I know we have addressed in the staff report and in responses to comments, but maybe you'd like to summarize those that issue briefly.
Sure. The water quality monitoring, we're anticipating that is a required component of on-site management plans. Now, part of the basis for the comment here is that the current proposal for the statewide regulations includes some individual monitoring, individual system monitoring. But from an overall watershed perspective, you know, what we're talking about is groundwater monitoring or surface water monitoring that will be incorporated into the on-site management plan. And the type of monitoring, the specifics of that, the detail that will be associated with that monitoring will be tailored to each program so that you're focusing the resources on the high-risk areas, you know, exactly the way it mentioned earlier, the way the comment mentioned earlier, focusing the effort on those areas that are most likely to be impacted by the on-site systems.
Thank you. And then just a complete review of these letters that we just received today. You mentioned the overview of the Supervisor Frank Meacham letter addressed the first point, which could be applicable to the action today, but said that the rest of them seem to refer to the various versions of the AB 885 statewide regulations. And just to reiterate that point, and number three refers to the letter signed by James Giannopoulos. He is the lead staff person at the state board that has been working on these regulations. And the state board, after the last round of comments, tabled that action, and it's unscheduled at this time. And all those remaining comments from Supervisor Meacham's letter seem to refer to versions of those draft regulations.
Yes, yes. They're referencing a 600-foot setback and requirements that would apply in a 600-foot setback, and that is part of the current draft AB 885 regulations, and it is not a component of what's being proposed today, and it's not a component of our basin plan criteria either.
Right. Then we have six more letters that are very similar, and you address these generally with your slide here, but just to acknowledge that we did receive six more letters that basically say the same thing of tabling the action based on more need for more time, but no comments on any of the substance of the item.
Correct, and I'd also like to point out that most of those additional letters were also counted in the earlier. I had received those emails directly yesterday, and so I counted them as in my earlier.
Okay.
The ones that were summarized on here.
Okay, and then the last one is a letter from Shauna Sullivan, and were you going to address that?
Shauna Sullivan submitted a letter that has a cover letter dated March 19th, and attaching to it are two letters that were actually letters addressed to the action or the proposed actions the board took in May of 2008. So they're not directly relevant to today's action. At the time they were submitted in last year, the staff responded to them, and those responses and comments and responses are available in the regional board's records. And it's unclear to me what relevance these comments are to today's action. So if Ms. Sullivan is here and gets up and present, maybe she can explain which ones are relevant to today's. But they specifically were about specific sections and of the resolution and actions taken last May.
Okay.
Okay, so in conclusion, next slide, please.
Question for you. Generally, it looks like we have comments from people that have septic systems.
Yes. So
they're the ones that are voicing concern. But it seems like it's those that don't have septic systems that are going to be more directly affected by this. Do we have comments from that category of interested person?
We have comments from local permitting agencies that are most likely to use this tool,
right,
and to work with it.
Right.
You know, for the
cost, they're concerned.
Yeah,
about
for the
cost,
permit streamlining.
And, right. But
that
how about
sort of thing. Some of the comments that are included in your agenda package, they're not necessarily from commenters without septic systems, but they're from commenters who would like to are concerned that there will be a limitation for them splitting their property or adding secondary units, that sort of thing.
All right.
She's going to just conclude here with the last slide.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just a couple more slides, I think. So in conclusion, the implementation program is specifically designed to provide for compliance with the water code by authorizing the on-site discharges, provided they're consistent with the basin plan. It provides for a streamlining tool in the permitting of on-site discharges, and it provides for consistent compliance with the basin plan criteria. And, you know, we really think that the physical improvements that will result from consistent compliance with the basin plan criteria will result in fewer failures and will be the best long-term preventative action to method to manage wastewater. And it'll be the best way to make sure that on-site systems remain the low-tech, low-cost, low-maintenance systems that they're intended to be. And most of all, the overall goal is to provide for the long-term water quality watershed protection. So with that summary, I'd be happy to answer any further questions. Recommend the approval of Resolution 2009-0012 as proposed.
Mr. Hodgson.
Ms. Marks, I think we've all heard a lot of comments about the possibility of unreasonable cost to comply, and I think did I hear your earlier remark say that that's the state regulation rather than this item that we're trying to work on today?
Well, the cost of compliance that we're talking about today would be the fee for enrolling under the waiver, which is $560 currently, and whatever costs it takes to design and build an on-site system that's consistent with the basin plan criteria. Now, that latter thing that I mentioned, designing and building a system that's consistent with the basin plan criteria, is already required. So the cost that's represented with this implementation program would be the enrollment fee. Now, if this implementation program is not in place, then the only available tool for meeting existing state law will be to apply for waste discharge requirements, which, coincidentally, the fee is $560. But that's for the individual waste discharge requirements, like those that you've seen over the last few months.
Well, that doesn't seem to be that bad. But I think there's been a lot of discussion, and there have been newspaper articles which seem to go along with item number 6 in Supervisor Meekum's letter, talking about numbers of $45,000, $60,000, that kind of thing. And that's what I was trying to clarify.
That is in response to the proposed statewide regulations include a requirement that any on-site systems that are within 600 feet of a water body that's impaired with pollutants that have been identified as coming from on-site systems like fecal coliform bacteria or nitrogen, that if the TMDL for those water bodies identifies those sources, and septic systems are the sources, then any on-site systems within 600 feet need to upgrade to what we call alternative systems, what the proposed regulations call supplemental systems. And there's a whole variety of supplemental systems, depending on what the problem is. And that's where the price tag, the significant expense comes from. But that is a part of the proposal, the statewide regulations that is current. It's circulating for comments, but it's not scheduled for consideration.
I think that's the exact point that I was trying to clarify, is that implementation of that is still something under discussion on the statewide basis. It is not something that we are causing to happen here today.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It even happens to be something that we commented on, and that comment letter is in your agenda package.
Yeah, we have two comment letters, I believe, in our tail end of our agenda package.
Right, one's from a couple years ago.
Right, and to expand on your answer as far as the costs, you said there would be the enrollment fee, $560. There's the next step if they have the on-site management plan.
Right, right. When we get to where we want to be with the on-site management plans and the memoranda of understanding, then there would not be that individual fee. And that's where we hope to be. I mean, that's the goal.
Okay. Dr. Hunter?
I am wondering about the MOU process. And so staff is conducting MOU discussions or developing MOUs with various agencies.
Yes.
I assume county level, the county level.
The local permitting agencies. So it's primarily counties because septic systems are typically in unincorporated areas. But some cities do have a lot of septic systems as well. You know, if they're cities that have a lot of dispersed development. And so it's cities as well.
So what is the there are two dimensions to this MOU process. One is our role in conducting these individual MOU discussions, our part in that. The other side, of course, is the individual municipality or county area. What kind of public process is involved with the MOU development and review and input of what those MOUs look like?
There's not a public process in the development of the MOU itself. But what we're talking about in the MOU is the development of a schedule and and the implementation program, and that includes the public process. Well, actually, let me just back up a hair, in that the MOU itself is the agreement between the Water Board's executive officer and the local agency. So if this goes through a local agency public review process or, you know, public hearing process, then I'm not addressing that here. But we don't have a separate hearing process for that, for the memo, the MOU itself. But the development of the on-site management plan, then not only is the local agency, you know, it's a local agency plan, so they have their public participation process, but also one of the components of a good on-site management plan is public participation, because it's, you know, as you've very lightly noticed, over the last couple of years, there's a lot more interest in on-site systems. Well, you know, a lot of that interest is because people were just not aware of the regulations that have been in place for many, many years. So that, to me, sort of waves the flag that the importance of the public education component of the on-site management plans. And those are processes that we're very likely to participate in, but not necessarily hosting them. You know, they're not our plans. They're local plans.
Okay. And last question, then, is the draft MOUs at a point where the discussions have then developed written criteria that are going to go into, or conditions that will be included in specific MOUs. Are those documents that we post once they reach a draft level where the county's reviewing, you're satisfied you've included the kind of language that regional board needs? Are those draft documents available for public review through our website, say?
I don't recall that we have posted those everywhere. I believe we had them available at the workshop, but that's probably the only location.
Well, my suggestion is, since this is region-wide, and since you have, it appears we're going to see a number of these MOUs coming online, that we post those once they reach a point where the county has agreed and you have agreed that this is a good document. The county is going to move ahead with its process, and we don't know how long it'll be before the county posts their materials. It may not come up until the 30-day point, which often is, you know, doesn't catch everybody. But if we can put it, if we can post it on our website under the category of on-site management plan progress and MOU development, so that all of them are there, I think that would be very helpful. I see a number of letters that have questions about the MOU process and ability to access and comment on and review and so forth. So I think this might be an easy fix. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, you might, when the counties or cities do schedule their public hearings, maybe we could include that information. My question is on, I'm just assuming, and I could be wrong, is that a large part of our region is actually covered by these MOUs, or has, or was at least until 2004. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, are there, or are there large areas that aren't covered? Maybe I should put it that way.
Both. I mean, the the characteristic of our region is we have a huge amount of area that is that uses on-site systems. And so, for example, you know, a lot of San Luis Obispo County uses on-site systems, and we had an MOU with San Luis County. But there are specific areas in the in San Luis County where that MOU would not apply. For example, the city of Atascadero, and there are a large number of on-site systems there. So, you know, I would still say, yeah, there's large numbers.
So was Atascadero covered?
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
So what do the folks there do? They have to come to us for?
If they were meeting existing state law, they would come to us for permitting.
I see, okay.
But, you know, we have been implementing a similar program in all areas, regardless of whether we had an up-to-date MOU or not.
So the people in Tascadero don't have a local permitting
process? They do
process.
Have a local permitting
oh, they
program.
Do.
Yes.
Oh, but it doesn't have an MOU with
yes.
us. Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, we would typically work with the local agency to make sure their requirements are consistent with baseline criteria.